Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, winter solstice, December 21st, 2012. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit the websites llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, The Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more. And the community website bringforth.org, that's bring, the number 4, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you'd like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Carla and Jim, are we still on the same timeline?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I figured I would be in good company hanging out with you guys today. So
you still have
I'm really
bills
glad
to pay
you're
and
here. Yeah. Yeah, we do. But so how are you doing? Carla, I hear you're feeling better. I'm so glad.
Sort of climbing up out of the pit. I think, you know, probably one out of every two listeners, at least in our area, is about half the people in the city are down with some creepy crud, they call it. And it's slow moving, and, you know, I've had all kinds of trouble shaking it off. And for a long time, I couldn't really speak, because it would make me sick to my stomach, and that, you know, had no future to it whatsoever. But
oh,
that
dear.
Gave Jim a chance to shine, and I was really pleased that Jim got his chance, because a lot of times people don't realize that Jim isn't just president of LNL Research because, you know, he's my husband. It's not like that. He's in his own right, he's a brilliant researcher and a wonderful speaker with a whole lot of information at his command. And if you are a person that wants to know what the Confederation material has to say about something, Jim is probably better at it than I am. So I was really tickled for him to have his chance to show how really well he can do. And so now we're back to doing the tag team.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, he really did. It does
wonderful.
Feel good. Yes, wonderful to have you back, Carla. We missed you. But you're right. Jim did fabulous last week. I mean, it was a really, really good show, and I was impressed. And if anybody missed that show, you can catch it in the archives at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch, last week's show. So, yeah. All right. Well, today is today a big day?
Today's
what,
huge.
What do you think?
I'm so very glad that it's finally here, because finally people will stop talking about it as though a spaceship was going to land and take everybody away. I've been saying for 30 years, you know, I mean, because of the fact that people started asking about it, no, it's a metaphysical event. It's not physical. You're not going to know the difference physically. Well, it's a spiritual event, and you need to approach it with a feeling of sensitivity to the changing vibrations. a realization of who we are. So that's I'm thrilled that the day has come so that people can reevaluate not just this day, but the reason that material like ours is helpful. It's not helpful because it pays the bills. It's not helpful because it has physical uses. You know, you can't plug anything in with it, or it's not even good party conversation. What it is, when people are ready for it and need it, is a settling down, an orientation of information about who we are, where we are, where we're going. And it's so helpful, I think, to have sources that can only be approached spiritually. Sure, they're going to be misunderstood. People are going to be upset because there's so much publicity about it, and people have promised the world, you know, oh, yes, we're going to be on this wonderful spaceship, and I'm going to be the tour director. But it's too bad. It's too bad. Very good people have gotten caught in that desire to have things be bigger, you know, have things be out there. And, you know, this is a very intimate event. And we can only approach it with the intimacy of faith. So I look forward to talking about it. This is a good day.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I got to tell you guys, I don't know if you can you see the chat room? Are you able to see the chat room?
No, how do you do that?
I mean, I've from
got
the studio.
Studio up. How do you get to
it? You know, I'm not sure how you would get to it.
Better leave it to
you. Okay, I just got to tell you there's about 20 people in there. So
okay, well,
that's, we got a big crowd tonight.
That's great. Hey, everybody, that's terrific. Let's all
yeah,
have
that's a lot.
Okay,
a lot more than
usual. I don't see where it says here's the chat room. Oh, wait a minute, there's something called chat. I'll click on that.
Yeah, just click on that. That ought to do it.
Launch chat in a new window, yes.
There you go.
My computer's thinking about it.
Okay,
loading,
so
anybody loading.
In the chat room, anybody want to put some questions in there, feel free to do that. And I'm going to go ahead and go to the opening riff. And so when we get done with that part, if anybody wants to call in live, you're welcome to do that. And that number, once again, is 646-595-2294. Press the 1 key when prompted. That's 646-595-2294. All right, this opening riff is from Kuo from November 21st, 2005. And it's very relevant for tonight. The Mayans are among those civilizations which became aware of a cycle that stretched across long eras of your time. They saw that the planet itself would move through a very decisive change from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. The age of Pisces is at its end. The age of Aquarius is in its dawn. Energies are shifting, and the time of energy, being as it has been for thousands of your years, is rapidly coming to a close. That time will end during what this instrument calls the winter solstice of the year 2012. We would ask each who reads or hears our statements to pause at this time and release all fear. Deep breath, everybody. It is easy to fear a concept as powerful as the end of time. We would say several things concerning this concept. Firstly, it is a metaphysical rather than a physical ending of time. Your planet, as you know it, shall move serenely on. Time will not seem to end to the physical eye. The quality of time shall be different. In third density, the differences will be only statistically perceptible. In metaphysical terms, in time-space terms, shall we say, that difference will be far more powerful. For entities who are sensitive to energy, it is already thoroughly apparent that wave after wave of energy is crashing upon the shores of Earth. The planet is changing, and the changes will continue. There is a necessity having to do with the difference between third density energy and fourth density energy for the planet to realign its magnetic pole. This shift is occurring. Thanks to the many loving efforts of lightworkers such as this group all over your globe, working in relatively unconscious unity, but nevertheless being very effective in increasing the light on planet Earth by their loving affection for it, it is as though this change in magnetic polarity is being accomplished step by step by step, rather than all at once. As you see your planet experiencing many weather-related phenomena, you can see your mother, Gaia, at work, doing what is necessary to shift vibrationally and magnetically in order to align with fourth density energies. The mother suffers in order that the child may thrive. Such is the labor of Gaia. As these inconveniences continue, we would ask that each of you refrain completely from fear. It will seem to be an increasingly logical response to the news of the day to experience fear. When these natural feelings of fear arise, we would ask you to remember that you are the light of the world. Each of you, by your very nature, is a crystal that receives, transmits, and transmutes energy. That energy is the infinite love and light of the one Creator, which streams an infinite supply from the heart of the planet itself into the energy bodies of each of you and out through the crowns of your head, where you function just as does a pyramid. The energy that you create, bless, and give to the Creator by keeping your heart open and your love and faith strong winds itself into a golden net that surrounds the planet with love. Angels guard this work and join you in weaving this net of love. This works by blending third density energies with the fourth density that is birthing at this time. We thank each of you for creating within yourself the capacity for increased faith. We ask you to attempt in each moment where fear might be a logical reaction to move into your heart and find that place of faith in which you know that whether you are in life or in death, the Creator is living through you, and you are the Creator or part of the creative principle within flesh. You are not an entity that shall be stopped by death in any way.
Thank you, Monica. I remember when I was a little girl, and my mom would say, well, Santa's coming, and he'll fill up your stocking. And I couldn't wait for Santa to come. And as time went on, I noticed that, as it happened, my mom would use some of her old hose for stockings, which had the point that you could get a lot of stuff in a stocking that was made out of an old hose because it stretches. But it was not Santa, it was my mom. And when I came to be aware of this realization, I went to Mother and I said, you know, I really feel sad that I can't believe in Santa anymore. And she said, why not? She said, Santa is a spirit. He said, he comes every Christmas. He said, there's no question about it. Look around you. Look at what people are doing. They're donating to charities. They're being good to each other. Families are coming together to hug and love on each other and have a good time, renew roots and encourage laughter and just have fun together. He said, that doesn't happen without a spirit. Santa is that spirit. You don't look at Santa as a man in a funny hat and a big old red shirt. You look at Santa as a blessed spirit that opens our hearts and brings us together and tells us who we really are. Who we really are is so far from what we would normally think that it's difficult to remember. Especially as I'm still feeling fairly rotten, you know, I can feel every part of my body has its own special pains and aches, and you know, my teeth are, you know, tingle because of the pressure from the sinus. I mean, there's nothing on my body that isn't telling me I have a physical body, and it's so easy to identify with that. And it's so important that we resist the temptation. This is hard. This is hard for all of us because we live in these bodies, we work in these bodies, we take them for granted, we assume that we are these bodies. And fundamentally, we are not. We are using vehicles, physical vehicles, chemical machines that were devised by a very ingenious creator to carry us around and give us presence in a world of things. And we can sit on chairs and we can walk on the street and we can go to work and we can have all of the experiences of a lifetime in these bodies. But without saying that we shouldn't identify with the body, I mean, we need to take care of our bodies, we need to love our bodies, but we need also to move into an awareness of our fundamental essence. Close your eyes and let physicality recede, as Jim and I are doing here. Just let it go. And open those inner doors of the mind. And feel yourself. Your thoughts, your vibrations, your emotions. You are a vibrating energy field made up of the Creator in every cell. It is the work of a lifetime and probably the work of many lifetimes to persist in this awareness to the point where we realize that we are beyond all physicality. We're thought forms. We have the use of a body, a physical body. But our energy body is what's wearing the flesh. It's clothed itself in this physicality, but we're energy, you and I. As we sit here with our eyes closed and we feel the energy of each other across the computer, which does a really good job of absorbing and sending people's energy, we can really feel it. And we can begin to comprehend that we are thoughts. We are the Creator, and we are love. You can see how hard it is for the Creator to find out who He is, who it is. He sends out all these spirits encased in bodies so that he can see them go, he can see them work and make choices and find out more about his or its own essence and its own nature. let yourself be without reference to a body. And then look at this date. It's an exciting time. It doesn't ever feel anything to me when one of the parts of the year, you know, turn from, like, I'm Cancer, and Jim's Taurus, and through the year, there are 12, I think, different types. Born at, you know, a different time of the year, and apparently it makes enough of a difference what energies were coming in from the creation around us when we were born that we soak up that and we become, you know, Cancers and Tauruses and Aries and so forth. But can you really ever feel when that changes from Gemini to Cancer or Cancer to Leo or whatever comes after that? No, you can't feel any of those things, not physically. And it's not particularly important that we feel this or that spiritually. What is important to us, I think, is that we persevere with all our hearts in the attempt to keep our hearts open and to radiate the light of the Creator. You are the light of the world, the reading says. And what else is there to give light? We are all spirits. And unless we're stopped by negative emotions, by doubts and fears, we can lighten the consciousness of this planet as well as our own self. That's what we came here to do. And I think we're doing it. We're doing it pretty well. I remember when I was in my 30s, and I was working with a fellow named Andrea Pujar. She had a room that was completely built of copper. And there was a request that came in psychically, and several of us took it upon ourselves to fulfill it. And we, two times a day, we would sit in this copper room and meditate for half an hour. And we were attempting then to put the golden net around the world, because it was weakening. And we would get in there and we would start doing that vision, you know, envisioning that work. And the angels would come and do it with us. And we were weaving and we were singing inside, I mean, not physically. And it wore us out. We would get out of that room and we would be sweating to beat the band, even though it wasn't hot. And just from the work of doing it. And again, psychically, we were told after a while that the work had been done and we were thanked. And I've been surprised over the years. I've heard several times that that worked very well. So this is the kind of thing that we can do as adventurers, as knights errant in a world that doesn't understand itself. We can bring love wherever we are. We can touch lives with a smile, with a cookie, with a hug. This is the new age. This is, thank heaven, winter solstice 2012. And it's finally put to rest all the people that thought we would go poof. spiritual books talk about things that are not seen. The Confederation information, I think, is quite accurate. I think there has been a discontinuity of sorts. But I don't think that it shows. I think that it has to do with the nature of light and how we are receiving it. But I think we can trust that the new light has the potential to allow us to know more about who we are. So let's keep asking that question and then resting in faith that we are up to this task, and all we need to do is simply continue, persevere, and we will outlast the blues every time.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Those people that thought we were going to go poof, a lot of those people are very upset right now, very disappointed, even distraught. And I know I got at least a couple of personal messages today from friends that, you know, people from the forum that were feeling very lonely, very, very sad, you know, very disappointed. And some other people posted on the forum. And I'm going to read just a couple of them, and maybe both of you can respond to this and maybe offer some advice on where they can go from here and in terms of getting past that disappointment. And one person, Jim Hu, says, "Welcome to the winter solstice. Life continues. I read in one book that the spiritual grid would be destroyed by the scientists at the North Pole. That didn't happen. I woke up, my struggles continued. No more light was revealed. I just had to wait patiently for things to work themselves through as usual, and I picked up new struggles. Whoopee. On Tuesday night, I did feel a slight shift of some kind, but no inspiration or new direction. Just felt peaceful for a few minutes. Life continues, that's all." Another person, Yasarian. "So nothing happened. It's December 21st, 2012, and nothing has happened. No alien disclosure, no UFO landing, no mass ascension, no mass arrests, no end to the Illuminati, no telekinesis, telepathy, or levitation. What now? The New Age gurus hyped this date up so much. What will happen now?" Another person, "I just don't want to be alone today. I'm so disappointed. I thought I was going to wake up on a Confederation spaceship, and I didn't. It's just another day." So, and on it goes. This is what a lot of people are feeling. Do you have some response to these people and how they can get past this? Uh-oh, looks like we lost Carla and Jim. Okay, you guys, if you can hear me, somehow Carla and Jim dropped off. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read a little bit more of that session from Kuo. And can you hear me? Somebody in the chat room, tell me if you can still hear me, so I know that it's just Carla and Jim that we lost. Yes, you can hear me. Okay, good deal. So Carla and Jim will be calling back in any second now. I'm going to be looking for that. So in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit more of this. And since it is relevant, this is from that same session from Kuo. And I think reading this might be preferable to just playing music or talking about nothing. So, all right. Somebody asked the question, there's several variations of the Mayan calendar, and they were asking about that. Let's see, let me scroll down to this a little bit, because there was something good. Okay, the differences between the stories of various cultures, oops, there she is, they're back, never mind. Okay, all right, We got him. Okay, you there, Carla?
Yeah, yeah.
We're here.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but we lost you.
I know.
Got disconnected.
They can hear me, but not you. Okay. Were you able to hear those questions that I asked?
No. We just heard the question was from Jim, and then that was it.
Okay. I'm going to read the second one over again. From Yusarian. Oh, it happens. From Yusarian. So, nothing happened. It's December 21st, 2012, and nothing has happened. No alien disclosure, no UFO landing, no mass ascension, no mass arrests, no end to the Illuminati, no telekinesis, telepathy, or levitation. What now? The New Age gurus hyped this date up so much. What will happen now? And there were others as well that expressed similar questions. So, do you have any advice or comments that might help people to get past this disappointment?
Well, first of all, I guess I would say I think that it is part of the human psyche to need to be able to have a heroic story, to be part of a great journey. And we are all part of this great journey. And in the end, and actually in the process of it, we are heroes. But In the traveling of this journey, we come across opportunities to learn at new levels. Cycles are a natural part of the creation. It takes a year for the planet Earth to go around the sun. It takes what we call a day for the Earth to revolve on its axis. We divide that up into 24 hours and so forth. There are all kinds of cycles that are discrete in nature. And as we go through our incarnations in this third density illusion, we partake in, especially now at the end of the master cycle of 76,000 years, we partake in great possibilities. And one of the features of this illusion, as Ra called it, was that it does not contain understanding. What it contains is great intentions and great desires and great possibilities. And we're here to develop them along either service to others or service to self lines. And as we go along, we have those of our kind that speak to us of what we're doing, those that are our scholars, those who are philosophers, and those who are supposed leaders of the New Age, shall we say. And various people have different opinions about what's going on.
Uh-oh. We lost you again. Oh, dear. Okay, folks, we lost Jim again. It's still showing he's on, but I don't hear him, so I'm assuming you don't hear him either. Yeah. All right, just bear with me here. I'm sure they'll call right back in. From Kuo, what we would wish to do then, rather than focusing on any detail, is to focus on the general nature of this cosmic moment. You dwell in a time that is coming to an end, and yet in your body, in your mind, and in your heart, you carry the seeds of the future within you. As you live your life, breathe in and breathe out. You are planting seeds that shall be reaped by those that come after you. We ask you to plant the seeds of love and faith, with a happy heart and peaceful mind. As you see suffering from the energies of war and from the energies of a planet that is adjusting itself as it must to new energies and new life, we ask you to become ever calmer, reaching deeply down into your store of faith and hope. We do not see at this time the probability of planetary destruction from nature. We do see the possibility of planetary destruction from the toxic nature of the human tribe. If those who have chosen to fear are allowed full sway, they may well bring about planetary destruction, as has happened with many of those entities now in power upon your planet, on other planets, and even on your own planet to a certain extent. For those who are among your leaders at this time are often those who brought about the destruction of one of your continents, the continent of Atlantis. If these words resonate to you, my children, pay attention. This is the hour in which you can choose another way. In the face of fear, remember love. In the face of anger, remember compassion. In the face of disunity, remember union. For are you not part of everyone and everything that you meet? In the face of seeming dearth, lack, and limitation of resources, we ask you to dwell in thanksgiving and joy upon the unlimited possibilities that dwell within your imagination. We say to you this, for every problem that faces you this day, there is a solution. We have no way of knowing what you face and what you shall face, but we do know that your peoples have been given not only great challenges, but also great gifts and unlimited resources. The challenge that lies within you, before you, is not to husband dwindling resources, but to begin to see the resources that are available to you that are not now properly valued, and to realize that the greatest resource of all is the compassion that lies within your heart. They're still not back. Okay. I'll read a little more, unless anybody has a better idea. Okay. It is hard sometimes to see how, in times of distress, the answers lie within you rather than outside of you, for all of the distress seems to be coming from outside of you. However, we say to you at this time that, in our opinion, that which shall heal you and your planet and bring you through the end of time to greet the dawning of a new day is that which lies within you, waiting to be acknowledged. What is in your heart? What lies waiting within that mighty resource? Go into your own heart in humility, on bowed knees and with empty hands, and ask for help. It is waiting for that asking, and the help that comes will be instantaneous. As you ask, so shall help be present. Listen, then, when you have asked, for that still small voice, as this instrument would call the voice of spirit, to speak in the power of silence within you. And when you come from that room of prayer in silence and contemplation, may you sing with joy, and may you illuminate your world with thanksgiving, peace, and power. Carla and Jim are still not back. So, if anyone, yeah, and I got your question, Somatic Dreams, about the statistically perceptible whenever they come back. Okay, anybody want to call in and talk so I don't have to do all the talking? You're welcome to do that. You probably have something you'd like to share. Maybe share your experience with what happened today, because Carla and Jim are apparently having trouble calling back in for some reason. And if you would like to call in and talk and help me fill in the spaces, that would be appreciated. Okay, 646-595-2294, 646-595-2294, hit the one key, and I will unmute you. Ah, somebody, maybe that's Carla. I think it is. Hey, is that you?
Yes, we're back.
Woohoo, finally.
When you lost us.
When did you lose us?
It's been a while. We didn't hear you talk at all.
Oh, well, I went on for quite a while.
Are you kidding? Oh, dear.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Now, I was wondering why it was taking
and
you so long to call back.
People were thinking nothing's happening on, you know, I mean, obviously something's happening on this day because we're having trouble with the electronics.
Maybe there was some solar activity after all.
I'm
well,
talking, not only did Blog Talk Radio cut us off, but it went out of my computer. I had to re-enter into, you know, the website. I didn't have it on. Yeah. I mean,
well,
we're talking gone, baby, gone.
Gosh. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, I went ahead, for lack of any better ideas, I went ahead and read the rest of that transcript from Kuo. So everybody got to hear that. But they obviously didn't hear what you said, so you want to give it another shot and go ahead and
okay, what was Jim saying?
Anybody
well,
remember?
What I said in
yeah,
a
Jim
nutshell.
Was talking. We heard part of what you said, Jim, but
yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah,
that we're all on a hero's journey. We're making choices about what kind of information we welcome into our story about ourselves and about this journey, and we need to be discriminating about it because there's a lot of different information. And we need to be enough aware of our own seeking that we can exercise discrimination. And if we find that there's information that doesn't serve us well, then drop it and go on. Use this as a learning experience and continue on to have faith and to travel that journey. And the intention is what's important. In this illusion, understanding, Ra said, is not of this illusion. What's important in this illusion is that our intention is to be of service to others, to learn what we can, to be, how to be of service, and to continue on that journey as our own heroes, make our own choices.
Well, what's with this story that you see the same pattern? I know in the Christian community, you know, they were waiting for the return of Jesus and the rapture and Armageddon and that kind of stuff, and there's been all these various preachers that said, you know, there was that one back in May, I think, that said, oh, it's the end of the world. And then there's some other guy that said, you know, they co-opted the New Age date. They said, oh, it's December 21st, the end of the world. And he was selling books, and he had a website, countdown to the end of the world, and all this stuff. And yet the New Age community seems to have perhaps fallen prey to that same kind of thinking, you know, expecting something to save us. You know, there's some day where everything's going to magically just go poof. Why do you suppose we tend to fall prey to that, and you see that same pattern again and again?
Well, I think that we have a tendency to want it to be done for us. We don't want somebody to say, well, you know, here is a beautiful thing, and the only thing is you've got to work your whole life at stuff that sometimes you don't like to do in order to prepare yourself for this information. You want instead somebody to say, here, I have my hand out to you, I'm in a spaceship. Blink, now you're in a spaceship and you're a completely different person. Can you feel it all fall away? Can you feel how great you are? You know, you have everything you didn't like is gone and it's done for you, no problems, let's go. And that's where, you know, it's never going to happen. Because we do have the job of persevering, persisting, and outlasting the blues by continuing in faith. And the more that we're bummed, the more that we feel cheated, the more we need to go back into that sacred space and open ourselves up to the comfort that's waiting for us. There is comfort there. There is spirit there. There is paraclete there. The creator. I love sometimes just to picture myself going into the tabernacle in my own imagination and just crawling up on the lap of a big old creator figure. And just feeling that solid chest and the solid heartbeat and the arms around me and knowing this is a person that loves me unconditionally and I can take comfort here. I think that that's the way we need to work with ourselves when we're bummed out by people that, unfortunately, I don't know, why do people do that? I mean, they're very intelligent people. And then they'll say, but, you know, this event's going to take place on a certain date. And then they've strapped themselves to that date, and when it doesn't happen, they lose a lot of reputation. And that's not really what they came to do. You know, they came to hopefully be wise enough to say some words that would help people. And instead, I think ego must play a part in it some way. The idea of the self as, you know, being close to the creator, being close to it. If we had a UFO landing, I don't think it would be a good thing. The reason being simply that we know that the service to others orientation has discovered that it would be an infringement to land. So the government is dealing with extraterrestrial entities, but I sincerely doubt that they're the good guys. I imagine that they are entities with an agenda that doesn't help Earth at all, whether they talk about it or not. And I imagine that a landing like that would bode ill simply because we know that the service to others guys are not going to do that. So what's left are those that want us to stay in a state of complete fear, and then they feed off of that fear within us. You see, that's like food for the negative entity, and we're offering food to them. And I think we're offering food to people like that, entities like that, that hover around us, thought forms that feed off of fear and feed off of despair and pain and suffering. So isn't it better to work to move into a space where we are no longer bummed out, where we can shift our understanding from Santa Claus to the spirit of Christmas, basically. We can shift our understanding of the guys in the sky that are going to help us to spiritual entities that are helping us by offering information, for the most part. Information is a very helpful thing. This is the time, you know, to start building your intelligence. Why do you think that we need to describe ourselves as heroes? Why do you think there's this need in us? And there's no question but that there is, because in every civilization, no matter how developed, there are these heroes, gods, goddesses, powerful spirits that, you know, control the rest of us poor things. And, you know, if you read the lore of the world, you see themes again and again, which describe either the joy and the beauty of positive information and illumination, or the terror and fear of following Old Testament gods who would just as soon smite you as have a cup of coffee. I think that's what I'd say to people. I'd say, well, you know, it's time to grow up. It's time to realize that everything that has been talked about here, if it wasn't framed in a spiritual manner, if it wasn't framed as a metaphysical event, it went over into something else that was disinformation and not at all helpful.
Okay, thank you, Carla. We have just a little bit of time left, and we've got a few questions from the chat room. I'm going to go ahead and read all three of them, and we have about 12 minutes left, okay? And anybody that's listening right now, when you get cut off, if Carla and Jim are still talking at 9 o'clock Eastern, it'll cut off the live stream. You can listen to the whole show in the archive about 10 or 15 minutes later. You can just click on it and fast forward, and you can catch the end in case you miss any of it, okay? So we've got a question from Somatic Dreams. What does Kuo mean by statistically perceptible change in time? And then there's a question from Mysteries. I have a question about the nature of harvest. Why, where does it originate? Is it a reality for every planet? What is the necessity for these cycles of harvest to start their work? And then from Holistic Medicine, since it appears this will be a gradual harvest, must we all die to become 4D bodies?
Well,
sorry to throw all those at you.
And I'll leave the other two to Jim. Yeah, we're going to die. We know that. And the good news is that it's going to be a special time. It's going to be the last incarnation is third density, so at least here. So, you know, we all have that wonderful chance to walk the steps of light and to see, you know, if we have indeed developed our vibrations to the point where they have lost enough distortion that we are able to use fourth density light. And at that point, you know, wherever we've stopped, wherever the light has become too strong, that's where we are. Now, there are people that haven't, that won't make it, you know, that won't get over into fourth density. But it's not one of those descriptions. It's not a scatological terror. It's a scatological, well, here we go again. You get to repeat grade three on another planet. And it's the density of choice. And if you haven't made that choice and you haven't started working on increasing your polarity, well, you get another chance to do it. And another 75,000 years of McDonald's, hey, you know, how bad can it be? So I wish us all great luck, and I see you on the other side.
As for the second question about why do we go through these cycles, continuing on with Carla's description of the harvesting process, these steps of light are a process that we repeat many times as we go through our total incarnational journey through all of the densities of creation, 1 through 8 that Ra described as the archetypical blueprint, you might say, of the universe and our journey through it. And we start off very simply. As a means for the Creator to know itself, we are simple creatures back in second density of, in the first density, earth, wind, fire, and water, pretty much take part in an unconscious or controlled by forces outside of the earth, wind, fire, and water. It's a process that goes on because of the logos. The sun of any solar system creates the opportunities for earth, wind, fire, and water in first density to become able to focus as individualized portions of the Creator in second density as flowers, as flora and fauna. And then there's a continuing journey of the upward spiraling line of light where as individualized mind-body-spirit complexes in third density, we have even more ability to experience more light. The whole idea through this process is that we have to gently take in more and more light and offer ourselves the opportunity of more and more light. We can't take it all at once. There's just too much there. We have to go in gradual stages so that in the third density graduation, we walk those steps of light until it becomes too glaring, until it becomes too much for us, and then we step aside. And where we step aside is a point in fourth density at which we begin the fourth density experience. And this is repeated as we go through the fourth density into the fifth into the sixth and the seventh, and so forth, so that each density of light, now we speak of density, each reality has more and more light in it. It's more and more densely packed with light, which is information, which is the ability to learn and to serve. So there's more available to us as we go forward. And as we do it in a more gentle or structured pattern, we do it in a way that we can sustain that light, we can use it, and we can work with it, we can go forward from it, and we don't blow our circuits by trying too much too soon. So this is a natural process that helps us as individuals to know ourselves on this journey as the Creator and to know the Creator as well. And it helps the Creator to know itself by taking the harvest of all of our incarnations and all our experiences and all these possibilities that the Creator would not have known had we not exercised our free will. And that's the important point, is that all of this is a product of our free will. We gain spiritual strength by exercising our free will and making these choices ourselves. And the first question, again, was...
statistical.
What is statistically perceptible? Kuo mentioned that in that reading.
As far as I can understand there, I think Kuo was talking about not really being able to measure in a normal third density way using statistics or scales or anything that measures and quantifies and thinks that we have captured the essence of something by measuring it. This change into the fourth density that's signified by this particular day isn't something that can be quantified or measured or weighed, or you can't get it in your hands and hold on to it. It's something that comes from our hearts and from our spirits and from the soul's journey throughout all time and space. It's a marking, a register, a milestone on this infinite journey upon which we travel. And it's not something that we're really going to be able to see and feel and touch in a material sense.
Let me reread that part. I found that passage. Quo says, "The quality of time shall be different. In third density, the differences will be only statistically perceptible. In metaphysical terms, in time-space terms, shall we say, that difference will be far more powerful."
Yeah, so that second part was the part I was just addressing. As far as what will be statistically notable, well, if you look at the things that are happening around the world of how planet Earth is releasing the stored-up anger that has been released in thousands of years of wars on the planet, what Ra said was that what's occurring here is that this heat that is built up is potentially explosive. If it all went off at once, then we could have a real disaster. But what the Earth is doing is letting this off slowly but surely, and things like the typhoon, like Hurricane Sandy. I mean, it's terrible for the for the place that it hit, but as a way of venting off the energies around the planet over a period of time, it's much less catastrophic. So we could measure those types of physical releases of the heat energy that mark the movement from third to fourth density. And we can count the millions of dollars that it'll cost to replace and repair, the thousands of lives that are lost. We can begin to measure things like that, but those aren't really what are important. What's important is this metaphysical journey that we're on, which can only be seen and experienced in metaphysical or spiritual terms.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. We have time for, well, we have two more questions, and we just have a few minutes left, so I'm going to go straight to the next one. This is from Gemini Wolf. Gemini says, "I've been homosexual all my whole life. I wouldn't see it any other way. My question is, on the other side of the veil, does homosexuality not exist? Once I pass into 4D, will it no longer exist there? I think sexuality can be focused around energy exchange, and from what I understand, isn't energy exchange more effective between two of opposite sex?"
Yeah, I would agree with that last statement, that whether, you know, whatever your biology is, male or female, and whether you're mating with another who is of the same or different biology, those qualities of the opposite polarity are the most efficient in the mating process. And I think here in third density that it doesn't really matter in the ultimate sense whether you're male or female and your lover is the same as you or opposite you. Those qualities can exist and help you to make the same types of polarizations, the same types of energy exchanges, the same types of opening of the heart and giving freely of love. All of that is basically the same. Whether homosexuality exists in fourth density or not, I don't really know, honestly. I doubt it, because I think we drop a lot of distortions that we think are important here and that may work for us here in third density. Being one who is successful at earning money may be a symbol for another quality of being able to go out and to take charge of your life and to organize it in a certain fashion. But the earning of money and the status and power that comes from it, well, we drop that. And we don't take that in the fourth density, because that's not important. What's important is being able to marshal your resources in such a way that you can point the needle of your compass in a service to others' path. So I think we'll drop a lot of distortions, and very likely we'll probably drop homosexual distortion. We may also drop at some point into sixth density. It was mentioned that actually we drop the sexuality portion as well. So that at some point is not seen as being any more value in the journey. However, for the next few million years, it's going to be quite important to us, because that's the way we progress at this point in our journey. So the bottom line there is, I really don't know. I kind of doubt it. I think it's one of the many distortions we'll drop.
Speaking of getting dropped, I think, Jim, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You stopped kind of abruptly. Okay, we are absolutely out of time.
So.
No, that was great. That was great. And Somatic Dream says, thank you for the excellent response. Jane, we're not going to get to your question tonight. We will do it next week. We'll save the question for next week's show. We will be here Friday, December 28th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. You've been listening to In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. And please check out llresearch.org and bringforth.org. That's bring, the number 4th.org. Check out the transcripts at llresearch.org, the Law of One transcripts. That's what this show's all about. And please be sure to send in your questions and call in live next week if you still have questions about this shift or any other questions of a spiritual nature. And thank you, everybody, for being in the chat room. We had a great crowd tonight. Nice to see everybody here. The shows are all archived, so you can always go back and listen at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. And everyone, have a Merry Christmas.